Welcome to the Let's Talk Energy podcast from EnergyNet. This series was recorded at the Africa Energy Forum 2024 in Barcelona, Spain. Join us for these and other episodes as we talk to the industry players, stakeholders, and rising stars of Africa's energy sector.
So, Obi, welcome. We've got Obi Banda with us, underwriter and acting RLSF coordinator at African Trade and Investment Development Assurance.
Yeah, quite a mouthful.
How are you doing?
Doing very well, thank you. Busy as always at AF, but doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Can imagine. And so, yeah, how have you found the first few days here in Barcelona?
If I could sum it up in two words, busy and exciting. So you pretty much have meetings every half an hour from 9 until 5 when you live. You interact at lunch. There's so many people to see, so many people to learn from, so many events to participate in. So usually very busy in keeping with AEFs in the past. So this year has been similarly busy. Exciting in the sense that we as a TDO is like to have a transaction focus. And this year we got a chance to announce a transaction at AEF, our collaboration with Globeleg for a transaction in Kenya. So it's nice to not only bring theoretical discussions about what could work, what has worked, to actually show it working is always useful. And that's the exciting part for us this year with AEF.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think RTD bring a really interesting angle and perspective to the discussions here at AEF. And I know this year, or yesterday, you hosted a session on a specific topic. So the effective use of credit enhancement instruments to enable project financing is one of the best attended sessions yesterday.
Thank you.
What were the outcomes?
All right. So I think the first thing worth highlighting is, for those who will be seeing this, when you talk about credit enhancement, we're looking at everything from political risk, trade credit insurance, non-payment cover, to make sure that the discussion is as wide and as broad as possible. The panel that we had representation from ATD, representation from developers. So we had Amia Power represented, we had Anzana, formerly Virunga Power represented, and you had a diverse mix of different guarantee providers. So we had MIGA, we had Garanco, in addition to ATD. This way, people in the room could hear about three different experiences across three different product lines, three separate organizations. And to balance it all out, we had representation from the International Energy Agency. So when you look at that kind of blend, some of the key outcomes is, of course, things that we already know. We could be a bit faster. We could improve our pricing. There are concerns about currency risk and how they can be developed. So the key outcomes for me are, first of all, you lend your voices to a very key and important conversation. That way, everybody in the room has a better understanding of where the challenges are and what's possible. And thereafter, the developers came out and clearly highlighted what their biggest frustrations are. And over time, we hope that can inform product development for ATD, for MIGA, for Garantco, and other guarantors who are in the room, because AEF is very well attended by private sector underwriters as well. Mm-hmm. So all of these discussions hopefully can spur a bit more development to ensure that the products that will be in the market 5 years from now are truly responsive. Mm-hmm. So I think those are probably the key outcomes from the session.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you touched on the beginning, when you come to AEF, you're not coming just with theoretical ideas and conversations. You want real tangible results.
Exactly.
And the RLSF MOU signed with Kenya recently, another milestone to advance renewable energy projects and encourage private sector involvement. We were wondering, are there any other countries following suit?
Yeah, I think there will be more countries to follow suit. So it's worth noting that as at the time of this interview, ATD has 24 member countries and Kenya became the 10th member country to sign the RLSF MOU. So 9 other sovereigns have signed up before. And in those countries, we had already supported about 6 projects in Burundi, Malawi and Uganda. So Kenya isn't the first to benefit from this instrument. But the reason why I'm very confident additional countries will come on board is, you look at the story we've had in Kenya in the last 9 to 12 months. So we engaged the government of Kenya at the end of 2023. Mm-hmm. At the end of February, the RLSF MOU was signed. In March, Globeleg approached us to provide them RLSF cover. In June, at AEF, we announced the issuance of the policy, or working towards approval for the policy for Globeleg's benefit. So when you look at that horizon, an MOU is signed, an application is received, a policy is approved, that's the kind of timeline that has missed in project development for African countries. If it can work in Kenya, it can almost certainly work in other countries as well. So in other neighboring countries in East Africa, in Southern Africa, in West Africa, look at that success rate. the speed with which we develop the guarantees after the MOU was signed, we are very confident additional countries will sign. At the same time, Globeleq is obviously a leading IPP, but they're not the only developer. So other developers will look at that and think, I may need that instrument to get my project to bankability. I may need to engage with my host government to say, instead of providing cash collateral, instead of looking at alternative instruments, can you consider RLSF as a form of buyer payment security? So the success we've had in Kenya will almost certainly encourage additional countries to come on board. And on top of that, it will allow us to do even more projects within the market, given how mature the Kenyan energy market is.
And it's interesting, you just touched on that. A question I was going to ask.
Sure.
Given how kind of quick that timing is, like you say, a couple of months or 3 months in between, when you speed up the process to that point, is then the end result that more projects could come online across the continent sooner?
Yeah, I should think so. I mean, we acknowledge that in some countries, the process might take a bit longer. But if we're to use this transaction as a benchmark, to be able to get an application, have it considered, due diligence, engage the government for their no objection, and nearly 2 to 3 months later, have it approved, it gives a sense of certainty to developers. So the development process becomes clearer. It gives a sense of certainty to the government in that this is the instrument required. You don't have to go back to your parliament for approval in case you need a counter indemnity or certain instruments. You don't have to go back to your Ministry of Finance for budget allocations. So it does provide some certainty, allowing projects that advance to close faster and making it easier to replicate. So if we can provide a guarantee in a 3-month horizon, surely, given a year or two, we can work with the government to develop a framework that allows more and more projects to close. So this will obviously allow us to do that a bit quicker, encourage investors to know that this is possible, encourage governments to know that the process of signing up for RLSF is worthwhile because projects can close a bit faster. Mm-hmm. There are other challenges to be acknowledged and to be addressed. RLSF is very important, is very helpful. But if the other factors are being addressed, the other considerations are being discussed, definitely addressing buyer payment security through an instrument like this as quickly as we have will only help more projects advance much faster.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we've touched on Kenya and East Africa as a region.
Yeah.
We read recently that the local currency counter guarantee agreement with InfraCredit in Nigeria is set to support the country's infrastructure. Will that have a particular impact on energy?
Yes and no. So first of all, it's important to acknowledge the impactful work that organizations like InfraCredit are doing in Nigeria. So they are providing local currency guarantees to make it easier for institutional investors such as pension funds to invest in infrastructure projects in Nigerian Naira. Now, the collaboration we have with them in the statement that you're referring to is where they issue a guarantee across a portfolio of projects. Then they approach a TD for a counter guarantee. It allows them to do a bit more. It allows them to attract additional stakeholders in the transactions. It allows the beneficiaries of the guarantees to take a bit more comfort. In addition to InfraCredit's own balance sheet, they're also benefiting directly from our support. Mm-hmm. Now, to the question you asked about the impact in the energy sector, in as much as a lot of our focus is on renewables, we need to acknowledge that the energy transition in different countries will vary. Mm-hmm. And the transition for Nigeria is very different from the transition for Kenya because Nigeria has oil and gas resources. So within the portfolio of projects supported by InfraCredit, there are projects involving gas infrastructure, developing pipelines, transportation of LPG from one part of the country to another. So it does have an impact on energy access, an impact on energy transition in a key economic block. It just won't be renewables within this phase. But that's something that we all have to acknowledge. The transition from country to country will vary. Mm-hmm. Going forward, the next counter guarantee might involve a portfolio of renewable projects. But for now, we are able to acknowledge that for this particular portfolio we've looked into, the impact is more on gas infrastructure, LPG infrastructure. It may not necessarily be an IPP you can point at, but it has a huge bearing on the energy access discussion. Mm-hmm. It has a huge bearing on the entire value chain of energy deployment.
Okay, interesting. And I think you touched on the energy transition there, which is definitely one of the kind of buzzwords or phrases at AEF this week. And yeah. Another, of course, is risk. You know, it's difficult to talk about projects in Africa without risk coming up.
Certainly.
So RTD is helping de-risk Africa, so particularly when it comes to IPPs. Could you say something about this and the exciting solar and hydro projects that you guys are supporting in Uganda and Burundi currently?
Shrem, so I always say this, when you talk about risk in the African continent, you have to acknowledge, first of all, that the risk is there. It's very expensive to develop projects. It's very lengthy to negotiate contracts. There's a lot of uncertainty given the fact that you have a 20-year contract. You have presidential general elections in most countries every 4 to 5 years. So political discourses change. Discussions around policy direction are not always consistent. So the risk is there. But the reality as well is the default rate on infrastructure projects is low. And what we are trying to do as an organization is inform stakeholders that your perception of the risk may be out there when the reality is not so bad. We're not saying don't price for it. We're just saying price for it a bit closer to what it's actually on the ground, what is actually provided for. Mm-hmm. So what we do is provide solutions that fall into two buckets. One is liquidity through the RLSF. We've provided that to Globeleq. We've done so to Serengeti for projects in Malawi and Uganda. We've done so for the benefit of Gigawatt in Burundi. So liquidity risk is one way of addressing de-risking those projects. The other one is political risk. What happens if your contract is cancelled? What happens if you're paid in Kenya shillings, but you can't convert to US dollars? You're paid in Zambian kwacha, but you can't convert. Or if you can convert, you can't repatriate your funds out of the country. So that's the manner in which we're able to de-risk the project. There are other organizations providing similar instruments. In some markets, we may be more competitive than others. In other markets, other providers are more competitive. But what we're hoping to do is make as many instruments available as possible, give developers and lenders the options to choose what works best for them, at the same time explore how we can collaborate with some of our partner organizations from the African Development Bank, the World Bank, particularly with MIGA, InfraCredit, Garantco, all of those various stakeholders have instruments that can be very useful. And as a TD, we're hoping to not only provide the instruments, but explore collaboration and loop in philanthropic funds, donor funding, as we've done with RLSF, with NORAD and KfW. So that's the way we're trying to impact in that space.
Okay, interesting. And it sounds like you've been really busy recently. You've got solar, hydro you're working on, the MOU in Kenya and Globeleq as well. So there's a lot going on right now. What are you most excited about over the next 5 years in Africa's energy sector?
Yeah. I think the thing that excites me going into the next 5 years is, first of all, acknowledging what the last five years have looked like. Very few projects have connected to the grid in the last 5 years. Very few projects have reached financial close in the last 5 years. To your last question, you look at the Ituka West project in Uganda developed by Amia Power. It's one of very few solar projects that closed within that period. Mm-hmm. You look at a hydro power plant we supported in Burundi. It's only the second IPP in that country. Mm-hmm. So the last 5 years have been difficult because of COVID, high debt levels, high interest rates in developed markets, which have made financing a bit difficult. Value chain issues where assumptions about what the cost of a solar panel will be have changed considerably. So going forward in the next 5 years, I think we'll see more projects close. We expect in key markets like Kenya, the moratorium on PPAs will probably be lifted at some point in the second half of 2024. If that is done, that's a market that will bring opportunities for geothermal, hydro, solar, and transmission infrastructure. You look across the border in Uganda, they've done a very good job with generation. Now there's need for transmission infrastructure. So more and more projects are coming on board, not just in East Africa. You go further south in Zambia, where I'm from, and debt restructuring discussions have advanced. ZESCO is looking to improve its balance sheet. We expect some of the projects that have stalled in that market will advance. You go all the way to the southern tip of Africa. In South Africa, regulations have now been structured to allow more private sector participation with C&I projects, trading platforms. So after a very slow 5-year period, I think the next 5 years will still be difficult, but we'll see a few more projects close. And that's very exciting to be a part of.
Absolutely. And so that's within the next 5 years down the line, but more immediate. You know, we're at AEF Barcelona this week. What are some of the outcomes you would like to see from the conversations that are being had here?
Yeah, I think from my perspective, there are two things that probably come out. The first one is clear, direct, honest conversations. I think it doesn't help anyone to beat about the bush where the risk lies. People acknowledge it. And it's okay if we are singing the same song at every conference, but it's clear the discussion has been held. Is currency a problem? Yes. Is there a solution? No. Can we develop one? Possibly. Is the risk of termination a problem? Yes. Is there a solution? Is the PRA product structured well enough? Is there room to develop new products? Those nice, honest, clear conversations, I think, is what is required for us to work towards solutions. And our session earlier this week at AEF was trying to contribute towards that discourse. That's on one side. On the other end is there are success stories, and it's important we give platforms for those success stories to be told. So the Globeleq deal is one such story. But there's a transmission deal advancing in Uganda. When that closes, hopefully at some point this year, that becomes a success story. You look at some of the transactions in Burundi where the projects have now been operational for about a year for a solar plant. There's been no default so far. That's a success story. We need to tell that a bit more. And hopefully that can happen in the next day and a half that remains of AAF, but in the next few weeks to make sure that those that have done well are acknowledged and the lessons from what has worked well are acknowledged and can be replicated in other markets. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. And I keep saying, if you're going to electrify the continent, you can look at a 1,000-megawatt project. You can say $1 billion is required, but ultimately, financing for a project is a dollar at a time. Mm-hmm. If you can't finance a $2 million project, you almost want, or it's almost impossible to do 20, 200, $2 billion. So if you're going to look at very small projects, honesty, clarity, case studies, good examples, let's try to learn from those two extremes. So those are the two things I'd highlight in the short term.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, I know you're extremely busy and RTD extremely busy. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
There's one question I had to ask.
Sure.
Following, you know, your... what you just said then, success has to be celebrated.
Yeah.
So for those that don't know, Obi is an unbelievable fantasy football player.
Thank you.
I know you finished, was it first in Zambia?
Tied first in Zambia and I was top 7,000 globally. But that was the previous season.
I know, I was going to say. Yeah. So that was last season. What about this season?
Not so well, but I hope to do better next year. Okay. I think I was distracted trying to find solutions for the energy sector.
That old chestnut, yeah. Great. Thanks so much, Obi.
Appreciate
your time.
Thank you for having me, George. Thank you.
Cheers.
This series was recorded at the Africa Energy Forum 2024 in Barcelona, Spain. Join us for these and other episodes as we talk to the industry players, stakeholders, and rising stars of Africa's energy sector.